Hey, Fadies, thanks for downloading and listening to The Fate of Ison. I'm DM Brad, and this is Chapter 6, Episode 16. Huge thank you to all the awesome folks who joined us on Twitch for our 3-year Podiversary celebration. Hooray! It was weird, shambolic, and a perfect way to commemorate 3 years of whatever the hell this podcast has become. There were odd listener questions, technical issues, a giveaway, and even a special guest appearance from Banful Watt himself, Mr. Oliver Scripps. We really miss you, big guy, and it was so good having you back with us even for just one night of silliness. And congratulations to the 3 winners in our giveaway. Your prizes are on their way to you now. So, what happened in episode 15, you ask? Well, I'll tell you. Last time, Marley, Arcus, and Drew fought with the evil dragonborn druid Mitchell Moore. They defeated him with non-lethal force and tried to show him that peace was an option, but after millennia of imprisonment behind the brute wall, he was cemented in his duty to punish those who had harmed the natural world in his absence. The Squadeth met a new friend called Damien, a newly grown plant demon sent by Kashtar, the god of life.
Cold open. Yeah, POV, cold open, you're us listening to Brad telling us what's going to happen for the episode.
I mean, we're going to be just as surprised as you are, listeners, because we haven't been prepared for this at all. And that's not to say that we prepare normally, because I was listening to a Roleplay Guys episode recently, your one, the D12 Go one, and they were like, yeah, but they're used to playing this with Fate of Ison, who are like really good at like comedy and improv and stuff. And I'm like, ah,
aww. Well.
And they were like, you know, he doesn't need to put this level of detail in his game because like he's used to playing with people that can just like bleh out their mouth, you know, like that's not quite the way they said it. But
I was really surprised when they were wrapping up the game and giving like final thoughts. That one of the things they said that, you know, they wish was in the game that isn't, is like basically pre-written stories.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
because they were talking about how what? Much they liked the tables that you could roll on for random encounters or whatever. Yeah. And then they
and
were like,
but what about a starting position? What about this? I'm like,
yeah,
make it up yourselves, you lazy bastard.
I mean, no, make expansions and charge them like $5, right? Here you go, pre-prepared story.
But no, I really appreciated the fact that they played that. I've listened to those 2 episodes like 9 or 10 times now, just to hear this like where they struggle to understand things. And I've done a full revision of the game based on their playthrough as well, which has been very valuable. But back to Brad surprises you, therefore improv. Yada yada. I was just going to say that this session will be you making your next decision, which you already kind of sort of decided in chat, not on the podcast, that out of the 2 options that Hades said of like other major things that are happening, is there are 2 or 3, I can't remember, giant...
There's 2 things we hadn't done yet, because there was 3 things.
Yeah, so one of them is there are 3 gigantic tortoises that are, or last you heard, were heading towards the Town of Hope. But they'll probably be there and have probably destroyed it by now. It's been like over 2 hours since you were told that. And the other thing was 2 enormous water elementals were wreaking havoc in the far northern town of Port Ballas. Now, what I was going to add to that is, so you've decided you're going to do the water elementals in Port Ballas. Great. Your choice. Awesome. But my question is, have you thought about how you're going to get there? Because your dagger can only take you to places where you've been. You haven't been there.
Fly.
It's probably going to take you like 6 or 7 days flight, and the surge is 3 days away, and the town will be long gone by then.
Okay.
Like, where are we? I mean, you're in Caplane, which is in the Kingdom of Pinebridge.
Right,
if
so
you
we
wanted
go
to bring
to,
up the map, there is one at fateofisen.com for anyone, for the players and the folks listening at home. Hey, how's it going? Hey, welcome to the Fate of Isen. This is a podcast, and I'm talking in a weird voice.
I love it when you, like, talk to the audience. It makes me remember that we do this for a podcast and not just because
hey,
we like
audience.
Playing together.
Hey, this is Brad. ASMR.
I don't like
how
it.
How like them apple squatter?
Just hang on. We'll just put the fourth wall back in there. There we go. Hello, players and only players. Wink.
Okay, I have a question.
Yes. I like that. So I sit there. I like I'm the DM.
Take it away, DM Jules.
I'm sorry. I'm used to doing that.
You presumptuous fuck.
Look, I DM like 3 times a week now, so it's intense, okay?
You're both more apt to answer it than I. I have given... You forced us to to level up.
Sorry.
You forced us to level up.
All right, I'll take you back to level one.
On us. No, it's fine.
Enjoy getting destroyed by a goblin.
And I've added the spell Plane Shift, in which I can transport to a different plane of existence. But it does say that I can also specify the target. Here's my question. If I do this twice, so if I did it to travel to, say, my cloud plane of existence, and then was like, okay, let's go again, and then say the specific, oh my God, I can say words, the specific. City, the Pacific. If I say the Pacific Ocean, then I can go there from there, right?
Let's see. I'm just reading the rules for plane shift now.
So I want to know more about
thrilling audio
cloud
content.
Plane. While Brad's reading that, because genuinely I'm just curious, like, is it like clouds floating kind of everywhere, and so you just sort of come across other planes and they're underneath you, and so you like have seen Isen before? Do you know what I mean? Like, because I know it's a cloud plane, but like, okay,
it's its own entirely own realm, and it's its own planet. The physical part of the planet is just a very small blue ocean-covered orb.
Right.
So like a tiny Earth, a teeny tiny Earth, and the people live on clouds that are essentially like islands of cloud, like thick, solid.
Because in my head...
Of a substance that I can't remember the name of now. It's not actually cloud, but it's...
Yeah.
It's the equivalent of like every single thing is made up of this substance that's kind of cloudish.
Cloudonium. I don't know. I can't remember.
That's way better than whatever it was.
I did listen to the podcast. So yeah, because my headcanon on it was like that it was just this giant, like, flat earth situation that just moved over the top of other planes. Like, you know?
I mean, kind of. It's not entirely incorrect. Just, like, not over our plane, right?
Yeah.
So I'm just reading the plane shift, and it does specify that you can specify your target destination in general terms, like such as the city or whatever. Or
well, I've got written here Fornication Academy. I'm absolutely sure
it's Fornassian.
That is not what you said. No, I wanted to make that very clear. But
the Fornication Academy is something very different.
Yeah, I wrote down Fornication Academy because that's kind of, I was like, oh, that'll remind me enough of what the place was because I can't remember the name.
You can even banish unwilling creatures to other planes. Interesting. That's a super OP spell.
I mean, we might have someone somewhere trapped in some kind of plane of existence that we might want to rescue.
Yeah, the god
as well.
Plane. Yeah.
So, you know, just a thought.
I saw your message about that and I thought, uh-oh. but yeah, the problem with that is you wouldn't be able to travel to that realm without dying.
Yes, don't do that. Okay. Yeah, that seems bad.
Damn.
Also, we don't actually know. We don't actually know where he is. He just kind of disappeared, right? Like, we assume that he's gone.
Yeah, but I'm sure we could, like...
Well, yeah, I think we have to chat to a god that's obviously not hated. Maybe. Because he's freaking useless.
What do you mean?
Can we just get the knowledge demon back and we'll get him to roll to see if he knows that knowledge?
Yeah, he'll net 20 it. It'll be fine. Yeah,
we'll get Reagan back. Okay, so yeah, I mean, that plane shifting idea that you had, JD, of shifting to one plane, then shifting back to Ison, but, you know, in a spot you want to teleport to, is a very expensive spell slot-wise way to travel, but yeah, it works. It absolutely would work.
I mean, it would get us there.
If we want to. But we could go and do the other thing if both things need doing.
Or, I mean...
But I'm worried the other one might have already been stomped. And I know that, Brad, the idea was that we choose one of the three, but I hate that. I want to do more.
Yeah.
Attacking a giant water elemental seems like fun. I don't know. Like, it just seems like a good time.
You theoretically could use your dagger to get there. You would just have to find someone who's been there and who's willing to let you start.
That was literally my next idea. So why I asked where are we again is I was like, how big is this town, kind of in my head, so I could be like, could I find somebody, you know, who's been there?
Yeah, it's a decent sized town. It's verging between small city or large town. So it's not like a sprawling metropolis, but it's certainly no backwater village. And there are, you know, probably maybe 100,000 people. And they, you know, they've started to come back because it's been well over an hour since you neutralized the threat of Mitchell Moore because you had that short rest while he was hanging upside down and things like that. Mm-hmm, so the people have started to come back into the town. And they and your friend Drew, the druid, has said farewell to you so he can go off and reincarnate one of the people who died. Just a random body that fell out of the tower. So Drew is just like sort of like maybe 100 meters away from you just doing his thing, and you've got your new demonic plant companion Damien. Hey, I'm Damien. Hi, I'm Damien. Kashtar sent me. Hi. Hey.
Oh, he didn't disappear after we stopped talking to him?
No, he stayed there apparently.
No. Kashtar sent me. I'm supposed to help you. I can do one thing. I can do one thing one time.
Oh.
I was grown for one thing.
That's kind
of
sad.
I wish I had that kind of sense of purpose, you know?
I was like a seed, a few hours ago, and then Kashtar was like, here, go help Marley and Arcus and tell Drew that they're doing a good job.
And
you'll be a good help.
At one point, there's no need to brag. It's a weird
And then then I grew, then I met you, and then I started talking the things I'm saying now. Hi!
You know what you sound like? You sound like a story seed. So and let the real players.
Hey,
listen.
Hey, Arcus.
Let's go.
Hey, Marley.
Do you feel like suddenly more powerful even though you haven't slept and stuff?
Whenever I don't sleep, I feel more powerful. That's a completely normal thing for me.
Hey, you two have two more levels of life radiating from you, and I can tell because I'm a life demon.
Yeah, I do feel that. I feel like I leveled twice in one go about half an hour ago. Feels good.
Yeah. I feel different. Like I just know more spells now. I feel more knowledgeable. I've grown immensely mentally. Yeah,
I feel like I know if you could put like a name on spells, you know, like a number on the level of spells.
Yeah.
I feel like I know fourth level spells now. Which is kind of
There's like a comical like brrr, almost slide whistle sound as Damien shoves his face in front of you, both of you, and says, you could say you've grown.
Oh, God.
And then we grow. Why don't you make like a tree and have more bark than bite?
Okay. And he just grows like a layer of bark around himself and it just sort of like forms up around him.
That's also enough.
Also, I feel like my crossbow and stuff is even better now. Look, and she just fires off to the side, and it just unerringly goes straight into this knot in the tree over there. That's
are you gonna make her roll for that?
Yeah.
What I'm gonna do, Jules, roll a d4, and if it's a 1, then a squirrel just happened to be walking, crawling around the tree, and you just impaled it.
I mean, amazing. No, I did not. I rolled a 3.
Okay, so a squirrel was about to go, and then this crossbow bolt just boom, right in front of it, and it goes beep, and just scurried away.
See, look how good I am.
Didn't even look.
I'm what?
If I could put a numerical number on that, I would say that I'm a plus 11 to my crossbow now. I mean.
I would say I had learnt maybe 3 more spells, and that they would have been at level 7. Hypothetically.
Does Tratora grant you your spells?
Yes. I just pray about it. I'm God, it's me. Are you there, God? It's me, Arcus. Yeah, I didn't know that was my Judy Bloom. I've been going, sorting through all my mum's books because they've moved, and my mum literally could own a library. It's ridiculous. She's got 5 copies of The Chocolate War. I don't know what that book is, but she's it's really good. And I'm clearly you have 5. And it's how many versions of The Chocolate War can there be / do you need?
Well, there's white, there's dark, there's milk.
No, there is a chocolate caramel. War too.
I do have 3 copies of Insomnia by Stephen King.
It's crazy the amount of double ups my mum has.
Yeah, one's all tattered and kind of because I read it every year. And then the other one's newer. And then I actually cut out the middle of one of the copies. And
hide weed.
No, I don't do drugs, Brad. You know that.
Classic stoner Jules.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem, okay? I can stop any time.
Okay, so you're going to laugh when I tell you what's actually in there. My passport sits in there, but on top of my passport is emergency lollies. But I hide them from myself. But just in case I ever run out, in the Tupperware container I keep next to my desk at all times, there is emergency lollies in
ants get in your book?
It's all right. They're in plastic bags, you know?
Okay, good.
Yeah. This is how addicted to sugar I am. I have to have emergency lollies.
Look, everyone's got their drug.
So you're in the town of Kaplane.
Anyway, sorry, Brad, we just wanted to talk about how we leveled because it was cool.
Yeah.
It was fun. I'm a level 8 bard, a level 5 ranger now, which is why I can only just get level 4 spells because I have some ranger. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just a level 14 cleric.
14?
You should be level 13.
13. I said the wrong number. 13.
Nice.
Wait.
We might even get to 20 at this rate. How exciting.
I know. I don't know why I hate it then. I know.
Well,
it is exciting.
He would know.
He would know.
If anyone knows, it's me. But I'm not going to tell you unless you specifically ask.
Okay, so...
The irony of the god that only doesn't know what you need to know.
Yeah.
Because it all seems so obvious to him. What do you mean you don't know this one small insignificant factor that leads to everything?
I turn around to the tree thing and I go, are you going to stay here for a second?
Damien says, I'm going to stay with you forever, I think. Well, at least until I do the thing I'm supposed to do.
And Hodge is sitting there, head resting on his paws, just chilling out. And I'm watch him for me, would you, Hodge? And I just shoot through like one of the like leave things, and I'm like, but I've put in a real crossbow bolt for a change, like not one of my magical ones, and I just saw like it catches the leaf and like pins him against the wall, and I'm like, stay.
Yeah, he looks more amused. Yeah. By like, oh, like I've been harmed by a thing. This is new.
Yeah. Like, stay. And I'm like,
don't go anywhere without me.
I have an idea, Arcus.
Mm-hmm.
If we find someone that's been to Port Bellas.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I assumed that's what we were doing. I didn't feel like we had to, like,
but
articulate
just,
it. But yeah.
I just think he's going to get in the way of this.
I think we just give him some silent treatment, pretend like he doesn't exist.
Yeah, he stays here with Hodge, because also a giant wolf with wings can be quite intimidating. I feel like the two of us, we could probably find somebody.
Yeah, because we're not
intimidating. Cloud demon with lightning eyes isn't intimidating.
And then you have, I was going to say, you are a cloud, but you're easier to explain. If you just float alongside me, I could say
I
that you're my like thunderstorm.
I'll pretend to be like, you know, when people are really sad and they have like a dark cloud over their head in cartoons. That's me.
Yes.
I'll be that to you. Yeah. You'll be like, I've been cursed by a witch.
You could turn yourself so light, you could probably just sit on my head.
I sit on Marley's head.
I am on board with shenanigans.
This is the true growth of the series. Arcus started off wearing hats, and now Arcus is a hat. That's story circle. That's storytelling, kids.
And that's how we're going to wrap it up. That's the end of the Fate of Iceland.
What more do you need?
I mean, nothing, really. I like that I'm looking at the number of how many minutes we've been recording for already, and I know that half of this will be edited out, but we've been recording for 20 minutes, and we've done nothing.
I mean, I love everything that we've talked about so far.
I like that that Fate of Iceland started with Trestle Spoon riding Banfor all the time, and now Arcus rides Marley.
It's nice. It's nice. I like it. Oh, I miss those two.
Full circle.
All right. Marley has a moment where she misses that sight of Trestle Spoon riding on Bamfor's shoulders. It's like, oh. And then gets on with her life because they have a water demon to fight. No, a water elemental to fight, and that seems like fun. Right. And she's stomping around going, you been to Port Bellas? You know anybody who's been there? You, do just you?
He's like, okay, that's a nice like machine gun approach. You,
she's on a mission.
Okay, roll me a d20, please.
Can I just cast like thaumaturgy on Marley's voice so it's amplified to three times?
Yeah, you absolutely can if she's on board with projected.
I mean, because I'm already like pretty fey and charming and stuff, so I'm like,
yeah, you can do just
even
like
though I'm yeah, I'm like yelling kind of around, but I'm like, people like me for some reason. It's kind of weird,
but you know when like a kid gets lost in a store and then you hear the like the over the hello. Has anyone been to
I got a 16,
please come to the front counter.
You got a what, sorry?
16. Can anybody who's recently been to Port Bellas, please come to the middle of the square? Thank you. You're needed for an important question, mission, adventure.
And there's a blue Mitsubishi with its lights on in the car park.
You have left a dog in your car, and there is a crazy woman who will smash your window if you don't go back there.
So I have written a few sort of a small range of options for what happens if you went down this path of trying to find locals who have been.
Mm-hmm.
And a 16, and with the help of thaumaturgy sort of broadening your range as well.
Love it.
Oh, okay, this is a fun one. So you are get surrounded by people, so townspeople who are returning to the square. So like the rain has gone and the threat of Mitchell Moore, the druid, and all of his plant monsters, that's gone. So people are, you know, returning to normalcy, and some of them are finding dead bodies and recovering from this horrific tragedy. And in amongst you, all those people, you're bellowing, has someone been to Port Ballas? And then pushing through the crowd is a human man and a human woman wearing just sort of very common, normal, everyday clothes. And the woman, she pushes, so as they're pushing through the crowd, she reaches you and she immediately locks eyes with you, Marley, and her eyes show a definite sign of recognition. This woman knows who you are. And then she points at you and says, you're the elf who was in that inn in Farhaven. Yes, I remember you. And then the male who's with her just kind of goes like, huh? Like, he doesn't really get it. Just tilting his head. And she said, yeah, you're. And then she sort of taps him. She's like, Frank, it was after some of our fellow soldiers got murdered in a church. Yeah, there was a tall guy and a gnome with you, weren't there?
And Molly's like, I'm Molly Craft, do you know me? Like, she's like losing
yeah,
it.
Yeah. And then, the guy chimes in with like, that gnome, he gave us some free drinks. And next thing I remember, we were naked in a bed upstairs. And then the woman says, you drugged us, didn't you?
And she's like, no, definitely not. I just played some music and we had a good time.
Old deception. So, JD, this is from episode 3.
Oh, crap, when... on a fucking fiddlesticks. Sorry, I just swore. Do you know what I just
crap
rolled?
Crap on a fiddlesticks. We've said worse.
I said crap on a effing fiddlesticks, but sure.
I did not hear the effing.
Okay, so I got a 16, but I need to tell you that I have a plus 15, so...
Okay, so you've just tried to lie, and instead, roll me a D100, please.
Yep.
Chaos curse.
That's why I was like, crap on a fiddlesticks.
Chaos on a butt.
19.
19. Well, let's see what a 19 is.
I hate this woman.
Oh, you willingly give your favored weapon to the nearest creature. So
this... no.
So this woman in your face saying, you drugged us, didn't you? You just... your intention is to tell a lie of, no, we didn't. But instead you just hand her your crossbow. She takes it and she looks very confused. And she says, no, I actually was hoping I would run into you again. And she hands it back.
And Molly's like, would I do this if I'd done something bad to you? Let you shoot me? You know? She's like, I don't know what happened. I'm just trying to cover it.
And she says, no, this is going to sound strange, but I don't know if you remembered me, but I was a very angry woman. I was part of the Arkvale army. I didn't want to be part of the Arkvale army, but I felt like it was my duty to fit in and do as the other soldiers did, and so I had to have my back up at all times. And Frank here and I, we were denying our feelings for each other for far too long, and what you and your friends did is as difficult and awkward and inappropriate as it was, it kind of after that day, we kind of realized our feelings for each other, and we deserted from Arkvale and ran away to here.
Oh my god, you got them into kink.
When the Empress died and the Empire fell to pieces, we were actually quite thankful that we were no longer messed up in that. So, yeah, on the incredibly unlikely chance that we were to ever run into you or the tall one or the gnome ever again, you have our thanks. And the guy just is just sort of like nodding along, and he puts his arm around her shoulder and stuff.
Yeah. Molly's like hugging her crossbow, like to her chest a little bit, like it freaked her out for a second there. She's like, oh my God, I'm going to lose my
crossbow. You okay?
And she's like, it just means a lot to me. And she doesn't say like the crossbow. She's like, means a lot to me to hear that from you. Yes. It's so good because usually people tend to hate us wherever we go.
Don't say that.
She looks at Arcus and says, and your friend, if you don't mind me saying, you're very interesting.
Oh, yes.
We're friends.
You are sitting on my head.
That's true. It's still bold. I'm just a hat. How dare you?
Do you have a face as a hat? Like, are you recognizable as a sentient being?
Oh, 100%. There's no, okay. It's like, I'm not even really shape-shifting in any kind of way. I'm just, like, cross-legged.
Yeah.
Just sitting on her head.
And Molly goes, this is my friend Arcus. The tall man and the gnome sort of went their own ways and followed their own adventure. Well, I a new friend came along.
JD, let it out. You're dying.
You can go your own way.
That was eating
go
at
your
you.
Your own way. Thank you.
She says, "Well, I mean, as Frank and I have learned, things change. People move on." And yeah, as I said, we're very thankful that you did what you did. It was the push that we needed to get out of a situation that was making neither of us happy. But you need someone who's been to Port Bellis. Why is that?
We have a great favor to ask of them.
I have my crossbow. Can we stab you?
Yeah.
You know how we drugged you and stole your uniforms like 2 months ago? Can we stab you now?
Listen, it's for the greater good.
Well, my friend and I have a powerful need to get there now. We have knowledge that there is a water elemental destroying Port Bellis. Oh,
that's terrible.
And I have
and
a way
to stop it.
To get there in order to stop this or at least minimize it, but I need someone who's been there to help me. And they would need to take a hit to do this.
She says, "Well, I've been to Port that's where I first joined the Arkvale Army was in Port Bellis."
Would you, and I hate to ask this, bleed for this?
I'm not sure I understand. Why would me bleeding allow you to travel?
And she's just going to be up front because, you know, it's the fastest way. I have this dagger. It allows me to transport people, but it only works with stabbing a person who has been there. Well, and I haven't been. I have no way of... I would stab myself gladly, but I can't because I've never been to Port Bellis.
Stabbity.
Truly dark magic. How much is it going to hurt?
A bit, but I can help with that.
Let's see. Open the portal. Marley, Arcus, Hodge. I won't count Damien. So 4d12 is how much it's going to hurt.
Yep. I was like, I can help a little with this. I can basically bolster your health before we do it, which should help a little. I don't know if Arcus has any, and she sort of tries to look up and realizes you're on her head and is like, oh, sorry, Arcus. I don't know if you have any way of bolstering a temporary kind of health or some sort of...
I can heal after.
We'll have time, right? Before the portal.
Yeah, I'll give you enough time to do one main thing before you hop through.
So we will ensure that you are okay before we travel, but it will hurt. I'm sorry.
She says, if if it's something important, and as you said, Port Ballas is being destroyed by horrific beings, then it is, in a way, my home. And if this is me bleeding, is a small price to pay.
And Molly sort of like also pulls out, because apparently I've still got potions of healing, so also pulls out a potion of healing and gives it to the lady. What was her name?
She hasn't said her name, but
yeah, and goes to give it to you and is like, sorry, what's your name?
My name's Para.
Para. This is a healing potion as well, just in case our magic isn't enough to cure the healing, clear the damage. You just pour this right in his throat and he'll be right as rain.
Or in her throat. She's the one that...
In her throat. Sorry, yeah.
So she passes it to him, to Frank.
Yeah,
says,
sorry.
Like, yeah, give this to me if
so
I...
So hard to tell when you're talking.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, it's exactly the same voice.
I haven't been doing
voices
for them. I've been deliberately making her the main player and him not really saying much.
Okay, cool. Right. Yeah. So, sorry. Yes, Frank, if you could just make sure nothing happens to her, just pour that in her throat if she goes down, okay?
Sorry, phrasing.
Just pull that down.
That was not me. That was your you. Brad has a filthy mind. You heard it here first.
You inferred it. There was no implication.
You and your quivering bush. Okay.
Why would you do that to me when I took a swing?
Roll a persuasion check, which with your stats, it's a given unless you Chaos Curse again.
Better not. Oh, nat 20. Brr, 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 brr. I got a 35.
Highs and lows, huh?
They are both on board with this situation. They're not happy, but they both have agreed. They're like, this is the price that we have to pay to save a town.
Yeah.
So she sort of grits her teeth as if the pain's about to happen right now. She's almost in a like, get it over with sort of way.
Wait, we need to just take you out of here. I don't want to do it right here in the middle of everyone.
Okay, what does this look like to other people?
Why don't we just go into the fountain and then the blood will get washed away? Oh yeah.
We need Hodge. So come here, mate.
You could just whistle wolf. Bring Hodge.
I didn't have a wolf back then.
You nat 20'd on persuasion. They'll follow you. That's
I'm like, I didn't have a... Well, I have a... And she's like talking. She's like, I have a pretty big wolf actually, and it's got wings. It's a little weird when you first see it, but I mean, you handled Arcus well. And like the door walking and talking.
They haven't been handling me at all. I've been on your head the whole time.
Yeah, you notice that as you walk out of the crowd that's gathered in the square, some people, a lot of people have their eyes on you and they sort of follow you with their gaze, and some actually also sort of trail after you like a Pied Piper-esque kind of manner. Like, you are a major event happening right now, and so people are naturally just flowing where you flow. So you don't escape the whole crowd. You do have some hangers on.
Well, it was kind of more of a like, I need to get back to Hodge thing as well. Well, you were asking what it looks like to so sort of the blood kind of pulls out of you and forms the portal, so it's gonna look kind of icky too. It's gonna be your blood forming a portal that we have to run through.
Frank mutters under his breath, gross.
Yeah, it is kind of gross. But don't worry, it doesn't really get on us, and it's sort of like you get it back as long as you're healed.
Okay. I'm interested to see this wolf you're speaking of.
Yeah, and then they round the corner, I assume, and Hodge is just like enormously
just
sitting
like,
there.
That's not a wolf.
I did say he was large. I kind of undersell that every time. Sorry.
I was thinking like a husky. What are you?
No, he's rideable. He's my good boy, though. And she gives him like quick scratches and it's like tail thump thump. Okay, well, it's no easy way to say this, but the longer we wait, the more of town will be destroyed. So are you ready?
She nods reluctantly, and you see her eyes going straight to the potion in Frank's hand, like, get that ready.
And
you fuck me on this.
Smiley goes, oh, and the help that I said I would give. And she goes, I just want you to be safe for all time. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And now you have 8 temporary hit points.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hang on.
I can use a bardic inspiration to grant 8 temporary hit points.
Yep, that's fine. So she now has 33 to work with.
Okay, that makes me feel a little better. And she's got healing potion right there. You are ready, Johnny on the spot with the heals, right? Just in case.
Yeah, and if she does die, I can bring people back, so.
Yes, but I don't know if we have time for that.
Well, no, if we have time for one action, right?
Oh, yeah.
So
I guess.
Is your revivify spell like one instant action? Or is it like a 10-minute
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Okay, let me see. Where is it? Raise dead. You return a dead creature you touch to life, provided that it has been dead no longer than 10 days. Touch. Oh, yeah. It says it takes an hour.
Yeah, okay. So we definitely want to be ready with heals rather than...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Duration, instantaneous.
I mean, as long as she doesn't take enough... I mean, I'm assuming that NPCs are, like, PCs in this for this thing. Like, as long as she doesn't take Max, just take her out or whatever, like...
Yeah.
She should be fine.
Okay, so I'll roll 2d12, and you each roll 1. We'll put them together.
Okay.
Oof,
roll low.
Not a good start.
Roll low.
Oh, okay, I got a total of 20.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, well, I got 5.
I got 1. Yes.
Yes!
Nice, 26.
Wait, so, yeah that's not chaos cursing us, is it?
No.
Okay, yeah, so you stab the dagger into her and the blood starts pooling out and she takes 26, which is a sizable chunk of hers. She's got 9 remaining, so she's still on her feet, but she is like woozy, and you just, as the blood like pulls from her and starts forming the portal, you can see like this, the color of her skin turn a lot more pale, and Frank is sort of holding her, like stabilizing her, keeping her upright as the blood continues to pull out of her, like a thread being pulled from a sweater. Like, it's just being pulled out and pulled out and pulled out, leaving less and less inside her.
I like to think that Marley's kind of there with her hand on her shoulder, because she's like, she tried to do it in the least kind of like gross place, you know? So she sort of put it like in the shoulder, kind of where there's no like arteries or anything, you know? So she sort of did like there, and she's sort of holding her by the shoulder while she's got the dagger in. And she's like, I'm sorry, I have to pull it out too. It's not gonna hurt more. It's just gross.
Yeah, through gritted teeth, she just says, do it.
Yeah, and she's like, ooh, like rips it out, but like trying to hold her body still to like do it, you know?
Yeah. Okay.
It's like, are you okay?
She nods weakly, like in a I'll be fine, but I don't want to talk kind of.
Yeah, and Marley gives her like a really awkward like quick hug and goes, "Thank you. You have no idea what you've done. We couldn't thank you enough." Potion, and then just sort of starts like
go.
Arcus, go, Hodge, go. You know, like
What? Should we see how the potion does?
Grab the twig! Hod, grab the twig!
Okay, hang on. I'll roll the potion just so you know, you have some peace of mind. So basically, as you turn away from her to do your portal thing, Frank sort of guides her to sit on the ground and administers the potion. And she gets 7 back from that.
So she's alright. She'll be alright after a nap.
Yeah. And then they just watch in awe and also sort of disgust as you step into this portal made from her blood. And same as every
thanks
other time.
For giving blood.
donating blood to a worthy cause.
You should. You should.
And we'll take any blood. It doesn't matter.
Again, for those of you who haven't heard me say this, you might save my life one day because I need transfusions every now and then. So thank you for donating.
Mm-hmm. 1d12 at a time. Mm-hmm. And as with every other time you've used this portal, you step in and you are at the bottom of an ocean of blood. It feels like you're drowning in blood for just a few seconds. And then someone pulls the plug out and it just gushes out like a bath being emptied. And you find yourselves in a sort of shallow puddle of blood at your feet. You are on a port right by the ocean. And the whole area is just filled with destroyed boats. Just like some huge like merchant vessels and some smaller fishing boats and dinghies. Just in the shattered, and there's shards of broken wood and timber everywhere. Both in and out of the water. There are no people around, except for a few dead bodies that are sort of just soaking wet and just lying on the ground. And you see in the water's edge, two just truly titanic, watery, almost humanoid shapes. So like two giant water people sticking up out of the ocean. And they are just, you know, they're very obviously kind of like savoring the destruction of the city. Oof. And they're just like doing huge sweeping arm motions that are like whacking boats and buildings and just you imagine that if they could, they would probably just be laughing maniacally, right? They're clearly having a really good time just causing havoc.
And Molly's like, she did great. She got us right here. I'll never forget her. What was her name again?
Are you saying that to me, or are you saying that to Arcus?
Molly said that out loud to Arcus.
We drugged her and stabbed her.
I think it started with a T. Let's call her Samanthamum.
Such disrespect. That doesn't even start with a T.
It's just as close to any name I would have guessed starting with a T.
Paris.
I think, was it Talia?
It was Para, in case either of the players are interested. So, suddenly a large fishing boat hurls through the air in your direction. Please make a dexterity saving throw.
Okay. Whee! I rolled a 19 and I have a 28. That's nice.
Okay. I rolled a 5.
Okay, and Hodge?
No.
Oh god, always forget to bring Hodges, but that's okay because it's red here. His is a +3. Okay, so +3 to whatever this is. Oh nice, he rolled an 18, so 21.
Okay, so Marley and Hodge get out of the way of this boat, and Arcus most certainly does not. And you take 17 bludgeoning damage as it just slams into you hard.
Oof, fadoofa.
And you get knocked back, you know, several feet and to your ass.
Like, you're just trying to remember the woman's name. Was it Samantha?
What was her name? Boat.
Hey, remember when we were on a boat? That was a fun adventure.
Now a boat's on you.
How the turns like table.
I feel like this is like Shab's revenge.
I was nice to Shab's.
Whoa, blast from the past much? Listeners who've been with us since the beginning, I'm looking at you, KP, would surely have recognized those familiar faces from Chapter 1, Episode 3. Para and Frank, the former Arkvale soldiers who were partly responsible for Farhaven's less-than-happy situation? Luckily, though, they seem to have turned a new leaf with a little nudge from our questionable heroes. So, now the Squadeth is in Port Bellis, facing off against not one, but two towering water elementals who've already laid waste to the coastal city. Ruh-roh!
This show is made possible by the love and help and great vibes that we get from our awesome supporters over at patreon.com/fateofison. Alex White Robinson, Person Who Wants to Stay Anonymous, Robert Baldino from Not Quite Heroes Podcast, Irene Cucci, Laura Christine Goodman and James Blysis from Wheel of Woe, Sajaya Hodgkins, Laura Douglas, Mel Ziegler, Roger Afamata, Sam Malcolm from Table Tales, Kai John Fowles, Lauren Flake, Kai Dealer, Rihanna Kavalsic, Kevin Smith from The Dice Cult, Ben Edwards, Victorian Gavin Porter, Daniel Nickers from The Happy Go Lucky Podcast, KP Squished, Alexandra Litkites, Andrew Evans, Danny Holman from The Garada of a Podcast, Kevin Carver, Dakota Shemansky, Damien Lebreton, Andrew M, Alexander Waffles Williams, and Jared from The Indie Film Review. If anybody else wants to help the podcast but doesn't want to sign up to be a patron, the best way that you can do that is either by getting people to listen, by telling them that the show is really great, or dropping us a review on Apple Podcasts. That really, really helps. Okay, thanks for listening, everyone. We will see you next week in Chapter 6, Episode 17.
Are you searching for a D&D podcast that tells a twisted and macabre tale set in a world under siege by cosmic horrors? One that will make you fear for what lurks in the darkness and question your own grasp on reality? To bear witness to a party's struggle against their inner demons as they walk the thin line between hero and villain, while their sanity frays and falls apart at the seams. Keeping good humor and a joke on their lips as all they know and love crumbles away. The chanting of cults, the corruption of mortals, the nightmares of the cosmos and the whispering of dark gods all awaits you in Gunpowder Treason No Plot, a 5th edition D&D podcast. Be sure to listen on any of your favorite podcast providers. Part of the Necropodicon Network. Hard to pronounce, easy to listen.